Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn. And for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. And I want to express my appreciation to David Paul while I've been away. David was doing just a fabulous job of hosting Talk of Our Towns. So thank you so much, David Paul. Today we have a really interesting program because it's something new to our area. We have a small business in downtown Astoria, Oregon, Street 14 Coffee. And the owner, an incredible couple by the name of Misha Cameron Luddick and Jennifer, who, when they bought the coffee shop a couple of years ago, didn't realize that they might want to expand. And when they decided that they wanted to expand, they turned to community source capital and had a very successful campaign involving many of you listening probably. And today we're going to find out what is community source capital and how did Street 14 make this leap into creating a new business model here that we can look at in our community. There's an event coming up on Monday, February 5th at Street 14 Coffee where people can learn more about this. So I'm very happy to welcome in the studio today Misha Cameron Luddick. Hey, Misha.
Thanks for having me.
I know you see me actually on a fairly regular basis because I love the hemp lattes that you make at Street 14.
I appreciate that.
I know, hemp milk. I mean, who would think? You know, I mean, okay, we have soy milk, we have dairy. However, they're so yummy. They're just delicious. And I know you use Stumptown Coffee. And we have many, many coffee shops, which are all great in this community. So how is it that you came to be in Astoria and the owner of Street 14? Let's hear a little bit about you and Jen.
Well, we moved here from Berlin, Germany, and that kind of prompted an article in the Daily Astorian because that's kind of far away. But my wife's from Portland originally. She grew up in Portland and in Longview, Washington. And we found out about Street 14 Coffee being for sale on Craigslist.
But what was your background before? What were you doing in Germany?
We both have backgrounds in academia. My wife has a PhD in German literature. I have a master's in American studies. So we know more about each other's culture than our own.
That's very funny. Okay. Great late night conversations between the two of you.
True.
Okay. So you were in Germany and you were in, and what made you think, okay, we've been in academia and now we want to make a shift? How did that happen?
We both didn't really like our job prospects in academia. Jennifer had been around the block, so to speak. She had, she was finishing her PhD and had teaching jobs at various schools on the East Coast. And we both didn't like our prospects trying to get tenure and spending the next 10 years moving every year, living in places we didn't really feel connected to. So when the prospect of buying Street 14 Coffee came up, we knew it was on the Oregon coast. It's close to where Jennifer grew up. I had actually been to the West Coast as a teenager a couple of times. My parents and I traveled a lot when I was a teenager in the U.S. And I remember Oregon very well from those trips and remember really liking it up here. But obviously to move across the globe and live all of a sudden in a town of 10,000 as opposed to a city of 3 million, that was a big step for us. And so we came out here in the summer of 2009, looked at Astoria, fell in love with it, looked at Street 14 Coffee, fell in love with it, and pretty much decided to move our entire lives within 3 months. Brought our two cats and ourselves over and took over Street 14 Coffee.
So you're in Germany, and which is where you were raised, and, mm-hmm. and you've lived most of your life there.
My adult life, yeah.
Yes. And what made you decide a coffee shop?
Coffee was always the other thing for me that I could imagine doing. I always loved teaching, and American studies was kind of something that I did because I loved traveling the U.S. as a teenager. So I had a very early fascination with America that led me to do American studies. It was only when I had to make it a profession and a career that I was seeing some limitations. But coffee for me was always a space more than a drink or, you know, a career. I love coffee shops. I love spending time there, meeting people. You know, obviously, I love drinking coffee, but it's so much more than just a place where you go and eat and drink. It's where you meet friends. It's where you connect with your community. And to provide a space like that was something that I thought I would enjoy, and I do.
Well, it's like in America, it's almost like a version of a pub or something. I mean, I guess people do have local bars. However, a coffee shop is really, I mean, it's for anyone.
Right. It's very much where, you know, a part of our community comes together every day, and that's a very rewarding experience for us on a daily basis.
So Street 14 Coffee had been open for 3 years previously, and it had been holding its own, kind of, sorta.
Yeah.
And so when you all decided to buy it, you came into Astoria really not knowing anyone here.
That's true. We didn't really know anyone in Astoria, but we were greeted with an amazing warmth and encouragement. People, when they read that article that I mentioned earlier in the Daily Astorian, people that speak German or have German friends or have German heritage came out to the shop. And the next day I spoke about an hour and a half just German, because everyone who had heard about the article came out and they all wanted to speak German a little bit. So we were greeted with an amazing warmth and encouragement to succeed with the business.
And so you've now owned it for 2 years. And what has happened over the last 2 years?
A lot. we have grown from 4 to 14 employees in about a year and a half. When we took over all the employees when we took over in October 2009. And we made it through the winter, so-so, kind of, you know, nothing much changed from October to March. But then the spring, we noticed, you know, that people had heard about new ownership. And so there was increased interest in our business. We had also changed the menu. We had started offering more healthy options, more fruit on every plate. We're really proud of every plate that we send out, and we make sure it looks pretty. You know, it's important that, you know, it tastes great, and you try to work with local farmers and local purveyors as much as you can. But we really pay attention to every plate that we send out. And people now have smartphones in their pockets, and they take photos of every drink and every breakfast sandwich they eat. So we pay close attention to the aesthetics of the products that we serve. And on the coffee side, we actually had a previous relationship with Stumptown Coffee Roasters out of Portland. At some point, we were serving their coffee in Berlin, which was kind of an oddity because nobody ever did that before us. We did that as a little test balloon to see if we could have a coffee shop in Berlin. That was before we found out about Street 14 Coffee being for sale. So we did a couple of things to kind of try out whether we really wanted to leave academia and work in coffee. We had a little coffee bar in a co-working space in Berlin for a couple of months. And we also served coffee at farmers markets, which was a really interesting experience because people recognized the coffee we were brewing, the way we were presenting it. Because people in Germany, especially older generations, are very familiar with brewed coffee, not so much with espresso. And so when they saw us brewing coffee at farmers markets and giving it out, they were like, oh, yeah, of course, I know this kind of coffee. And they're really enjoying the Stumptown coffee that we were serving there. So when we took over Street 14 Coffee, we decided to continue that relationship that we had established with Stumptown and serve Stumptown here in Astoria.
You grew within a year and a half from 4 employees to 14.
Roughly, yeah.
That's just amazing. And why? And so it's because obviously you're using, I know you use Bornstein's fish, you use their tuna for your tuna sandwiches. I know Jen makes these amazing little pumpkin bites.
Those are very popular.
So you're responding to the community. So it seems like you're providing something the community wants And at some point then you said, wow, we're growing so fast. What made you think you needed to maybe then do something and expand?
Well, we've been needing a kitchen for about a year now. The summer, especially last year, was crazy busy for us. And we only have very, very limited kitchen space. If you come into Street 14 Coffee on any given day, you see everything that we have. We have some storage downstairs, but we don't have any other prep space. All we do somewhere between 4 a.m. in the morning when our early morning baker comes in and 7:30, 8 at night when our closers are done. So we do breakfast all day, lunch from 11, house-made pastries, and we make everything from scratch, and all of that happens in that tiny space that we have right behind the counter there. We just have been needing a kitchen for a while because we were at the point where we're kind of just coming up against the spatial limitations of the space, and we can't grow anymore. We can't stay open any later in the day if we don't have more kitchen space. So we decided that was the right decision to make to set up Street 14 for the next 5 to 10 years, which is what we wanted to do. And luckily, the space next door had just become available. So we talked to the building owners, and they were very generous, and they helped us out to expand into the space next door.
All right. So you're at this point where now you've created this kind of really popular kind of booming. And obviously, you have a mix of tourists and locals who come.
Yes. We're really proud of the mix of people that we get. Because it's different age groups, it's different, regions. We see people from all over the world in the summer, and then in the winter, there are days when we know everyone by name. And that's a really cool mix of people to serve.
Right. So when you realized that you needed a kitchen in order to do, to create more products and to have what more space too, right? Because if you create a kitchen, are you going to actually then expand the number of seats that you have available?
Probably in the next phase of that expansion, yes. The space next door is pretty big. We won't need all of it as kitchen space. So we'll actually, because it also has an entrance on Commercial, that we will use to put in another space and add maybe 10 to 15 seats there. And we'll connect it if we need it when it gets really busy in the summer, and keep it separate for meetings. You know, we've had a lot of people who have been wanting to host meetings at our space but wanted some privacy. And so that would be a great space for that. It's small enough to host groups from 5 to 10 or 15 people. And we're pretty excited to be able to put in another coffee bar over there and serve coffee, pastries over there. The kitchen is right behind it, so if you want a catered meeting, that's something we can also do there.
All right, now we're going to start talking about the excitement of Community Source Capital here in the next half of the program. If you've just tuned in, I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today on Talk of Our Towns, I'm speaking with Misha Cameron Laddick. Misha and his wife, Jen, own Street 14 Coffee, and they have just finished a very successful Community Source Capital campaign to raise funds with square holders, mostly from this region, so that they can build a kitchen, that they can expand their business. And so you decided that you needed a kitchen, Misha, and you said, oh, well, we need some money. We need some resources to do this. Then what did you do?
We kind of looked around for ways we could raise money traditionally, but had also heard from other business owners in the area about community-sourced capital. We know that the Adrift Hotel over in Long Beach used community-sourced capital to put solar panels on their roof as a way to heat water energy efficiently and green. Starvation Alley Farms used a community source capital campaign to buy equipment. And then there's a small wholesale bakery. Well, not only wholesale, but she also does wholesale accounts, I think, called Pink Poppy Bakery. She's also mm-hmm. in in Long Beach.
Well, many of our listeners would be familiar with Kickstarter.
Right.
But not a lot of people probably are familiar with community source capital. So what is community source capital?
Community source capital is a way to raise a loan in your community and to ask people to help you, which sets it apart from Kickstarter, which is a way to market a product or a prototype. So on Kickstarter, you want to sell stuff. On community source capital, you want to ask people to help you with a small loan that they then get back eventually.
So community source capital is based in Seattle.
Right.
And it's essentially a web platform. So once you and Jennifer said, okay, well, we're going to do this, then you talked to community source capital. And how did it work?
It was really very easy. It's one of the reasons we wanted to start a community source capital campaign. It, you know, doesn't take us long to set up. It's a website that you essentially set up, or a web page that you send up on their website. They provide you with a toolkit, suggested language to kind of talk about what CSC is, community source capital is, and then all you have to do is describe your project, you know, why it's good for your business, why it's good for your community, and why people should care and give you their money for, you know, a maximum of 3 years. All CSC campaigns run for a maximum of 3 years.
And you also, you decided, you set a minimum and a maximum amount of money you wanted to raise mm-hmm. through community source capital. And you want to talk about that and then the idea of how people purchase a square, because I'm a square holder and I know many people who are listening are probably square holders. So what is that?
Thanks for your contribution, by the way. a square holder, you become a square holder if you contribute at least $50 to the larger loan that we were trying to raise. And that buys you a so-called square. It's essentially just a small contribution to the larger loan that we're trying to raise. The minimum and the maximum amounts that you set are given by CSC. That's their experience that, you know, you should have a minimum and you should have a maximum. We kind of set ours at a minimum of $10,000, because if we tried to tell anyone we were trying to build a restaurant kitchen with less than $10,000, they would have probably doubted our, that we knew what we were doing, because it's going to take a lot more than that. But what we have raised through the community will get us off to a great start.
All right. So what happened then is I remember getting an email saying, hey, you know, we're going to expand because we need a kitchen. And if you feel that our, you know, business is important to you, is into this community, then here's an opportunity for you to be part of this loan campaign. And you can purchase a square for $50. You can purchase 10 squares for $500. You can purchase, you know, however many squares you wish. And the campaign ran for how long, Misha?
They all run for a month.
They run for 1 month.
They start on the first couple of days of the month, and they end in the last couple of days.
Okay, and it's all done through the internet. And within that month, you had how many people come into this campaign and become Square holders?
We finished with 160 contributors. 90 and more of those were from Astoria and Warrenton. So we're really, really touched by this community effort. It was, you know, nothing short of amazing to see how quickly and how enthusiastically our whole community stood up and was like, yes, let's do this. In the first 10 days of it, we raised $10,000. So.
And you finished the campaign with a figure of?
A total of $26,000. We had a matching loan through another partner that CSC was able to secure. So for the first $10,000, we got a matching loan of $5,000. But the community itself raised over $20,000.
That's fabulous. So if you are listening and you have a small business or you have a 501c3, there's a way that you can look at this community source capital model. Because now, because you've had a successful campaign, you brought this to Astoria, the first one ever here, mm-hmm. You are giving back to the community by having the co-founder of Community Source Capital come down to Street 14 on Monday, February 5th.
That's right. We're very excited to have the good people from CSC come down. super excited that the co-founder and CEO is able to make it down. She'll be available for a meet and greet on Monday. And, you know, anyone's invited, especially local business owners who maybe want to do a community source capital campaign of their own. It's a great way to engage your customers and grow your business. We have had a great time doing it, and we hope that once we start paying back our loan, some of the money will stay in the community and benefit other projects.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that again. So it's Monday, February 5th at Street 14 from 5 to 6:30. There's a meet and greet if you want to talk to Rachel Maxwell of Community Source Capital. You can also go to the Community Source Capital website, which is Community Source Capital, and that's CAPITAL.com. So, Misha, you and I remember feeling excited that because you're making a loan to a business that you like, and there is a little element of risk. I mean, okay, maybe that loan won't be paid back, but typically they're paid back within, what, 3 years? Is that what you said?
3 years is the maximum, yeah.
3 years is when you try to pay them back. And you have been embraced, and now you have all these different square holders who feel that they're a part of the business and want it to succeed. And so when do you begin working on your kitchen?
We're right now talking with Ed Overbay, who is a regular of ours, about helping us out with the layout. He's only, kind of giving us his significant insight into kitchen design. And he's very good at, like, developing with you a workflow that works. You know, the space next door has never been a kitchen, so which all means it's going to take a lot of money to make it into a kitchen. But it also means that at least we can do it right. You know, we can take the time to establish a workflow that works for us and will allow us to make it an efficient kitchen. And Ed's really great at, you know, seeing a space and imagining it as a kitchen, which I'm terrible at. I see an empty room and I see an empty room. That's all I see. But he's really good at, seeing where the gas range can go and where the dish pit can go and where a baking table can be. And in a space that makes sense once we actually have people working in there.
Mm. By the way, I want to thank listeners who've called in and corrected me, because we all need to help each other out in this world and so we can stay on our toes. Okay, Monday is February 2nd. I have been saying Monday, February 5th. I am wrong. It is Monday, February 2nd at 5 p.m. Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate that. Monday is February 2nd, and it's at 5 p.m. at Street 14. Okay, so the kitchen will allow you to have a bigger menu?
Yes, we are in the process of taking on a chef to develop an evening menu with us. And we can't wait to stay open later and serve small plate dinners, especially in cooperation with local farms. We've been trying to, as you mentioned earlier, working with a lot of local businesses like Bornstein's and Mike Josephson's and Home Baking down the street here. But we're coming up against like limitations mm-hmm. in our space. And it's, you know, we've been talking to a lot of farmers that come into our shop, and we're excited to be able to serve more locally sourced, more sustainably raised food. And we have found a great chef to do that with.
And at the moment, you are open from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and you're serving, you know, beer, wine. You serve breakfast and lunch. Mm-hmm. I mean, breakfast is pretty much all day.
We serve breakfast all day and lunch from 11.
Oh, lunch from 11 until 6.
Right.
Until 6. Okay. And then you have beer, wine, and breakfast cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
And when you expand, because you have your liquor license, when you expand, then will you have a full bar? Or I guess, I don't know, it just kind of depends, I guess, on what the chef wants to do. Or?
We'll see how that goes. We're kind of focusing on the kitchen and on food now.
Yes, yes.
With us moving some of the kitchen equipment that's in our primary space right now next door, there'll be a lot of counter space, and we can talk about putting in some beer tap handles and stuff like that. We don't want to turn into a bar or a full restaurant. I think we're pretty committed to our concept, as we have this ginormous coffee shop sign right above our bar.
Yes.
So, you know, that kind of commits us to... to continuing what already works for our customers. I mean, it's good. Not like we have to change direction because the concept that we're doing right now is not working.
That's why people invested.
Right. We feel the love and we want to grow what already works. And that's, easy, convenient, great food. We can't wait to serve more locally and organically sourced food. But we're not going to turn into a bar or a restaurant.
Because yes, exactly. You're just going to do more of what you do so far.
Right. And we're going to stay open a little later. But we also have our good friends at the Commodore Hotel as our neighbors. And there's a really nice room right above us. So we want to be good neighbors and not stay open until midnight and get complaints, obviously. So we'll probably stay open until 8 or 9.
Street 14 Coffee Shop Cafe. And Misha, we just have a few more minutes left. What haven't we talked about? I think we did talk about the fact that some people are still making donations to your expansion through Facebook.
Yes, we just received a very generous donation. I don't even know if I can say that on the air. But.
Oh, well, all right.
Yeah.
we won't. But so in other words, you have these investors, you have these square holders
right.
who now have a loan with Community Source Capital, with Street 14 for this expansion. And people can still come in and say, hey, I want to give you, because that $20,000-ish mm-hmm. is not really going to cover the full kitchen renovations.
That's unfortunately not correct.
It's not. So people can still come in and say, hey, here's an extra 10 for the kitchen for the expansion.
And people have been doing that. And people have been asking whether they can just give us money, which kind of blew my mind.
Right.
We, as a response, we set up a donation tab on our Facebook page where you can very easily and securely donate money through PayPal directly to us.
Mm-hmm.
I was amazed that was even an issue, but people want to help us out, I guess.
People want their favorite coffee shops, their favorite businesses to be there for them. I mean, that is it's just like this radio station. I mean, it's quality of life.
Honestly, that whole experience of asking people for help, which is essentially what you do when you propose something on Community Source Capital, like, I have this project that I need money for, help me out. That experience has been immensely rewarding for us.
And somewhat humbling, I would think. Because,
absolutely.
I mean, did it make you feel vulnerable at all?
It made me feel very emotional, but in a good way. Because people kept coming in and, asking us about how the expansion's going and how they can help us out. And it's been a really touching and humbling experience to see the love and support that we've received.
Well, we got to take care of our own. And if people want their small businesses in this community to survive and do well, then all of us are part of making that happen. So any last thought, Misha? I think we're just about out of time here, but
I think everyone should come to the event that we're hosting on Monday, February 2nd at 5 p.m. We're
going to
have some free drinks. You can learn all about community lending, which is a great opportunity for business owners or people who want to support local businesses.
Excellent.
So come on out and let's celebrate.
Terry, did you want to say something? No.
Well, go into the coffee shop and watch the baristas.
Oh, okay.
Decorate the coffee.
All right. That's right. Well, what I think is so great is, again, this sense of community that is so powerful here, and that we want to keep our favorite special places thriving so that, we all benefit. So thank you so much, Misha, for coming on the show and for showing others modeling what can be done with Community Source Capital. So thank you all so much for listening to Talk of Our Towns. And Terry Wilson, my gratitude. You are a superb engineer. And I also want to express my appreciation to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brunn for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, focus on the things that are working. There will always be those things in life which don't go well. However, there are many things which are going well. And if we can remember to be appreciative of those things and to be easy on ourselves and to give ourselves a loving and compassionate hug or just a pat on the back for being who we are. You are unique. You are the only one on this planet. And you're doing the best you can. And you are here on this planet. So now recognize that this is a special time. You're taking a deep breath. You're alive. You're well. You are here on the amazing planet we call Earth.